This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You are listening to The Morning Run. It's 7:37 a.m. on Thursday, the 29th of September. I'm Shazana Mokhtar with Wang Xiaoning. For now, though, we are turning our attention over to the Middle East, where in Saudi Arabia, Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman has been officially appointed as the country's prime minister, replacing his 86-year-old father. And this is a continuation of the gradual transfer of power in the world's largest oil exporter. Now, MBS, as he's known, is already the de facto ruler of Saudi Arabia. So this appointment formalizes him as the leader of the country.
Now, the Crown Prince has been revamping Saudi Arabia in a bid to bring it to the future and rely less on oil revenue. So the royal decree on Tuesday didn't give any reason for the move. And in a separate statement, the king also named his other son, Prince Khalid bin Salman, as defense minister and reaffirmed all other senior ministers in their posts. Like I said, MBS has been pushing forward with sweeping economic transition programs. And earlier this year, he even hosted U.S. President Joe Biden in the kingdom, turning the page on years of friction over the killing of Saudi columnist Jamal Khashoggi in Istanbul in 2018, allegedly by Saudi agents.
So what does this appointment signal and how might it affect the future of the Middle East? For some thoughts on this, we have on the line with us Dr. James Dorsey, adjunct senior fellow at the S. Rajaratnam School of International Studies. James, good morning. Thank you as always for joining us. Now, can we get your reactions to this announcement? Why has the king suddenly appointed the prince as prime minister at this stage?
I don't think that this is a major change. That is to say, de facto, nothing has changed. What has changed is de jure. With other words, it's a legal change. And that's a very important change because the Biden administration faced a choice next Monday. There's a civil case in a Washington, D.C. district court filed by the widow or the fiancé of the murdered Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi, who was killed in the Saudi embassy in consulate in Istanbul in 2018, as well as filed by a human rights organization that Khashoggi had co-founded. In which they held the Crown Prince responsible for the killing. Now, the administration has been given several weeks. That period was extended by the court to determine whether or not Saudi Crown Prince bin Salman would be granted sovereign immunity. The administration had not answered until today. And relations have not been good between Saudi Arabia and the United States, even after the Biden visit. In fact, after they've become in some ways worse since the Biden visit. So this move is really designed to ensure that bin Salman is not indicted. The issue with this is that under international law, you only have sovereign immunity if you are head of government, head of state, or the foreign minister. And that immunity is only valid for the period that you were in office, which means at the time of the killing in 2018, bin Salman was in office, but he was not holding a position that would qualify him for sovereign immunity. And sovereign immunity is not retroactive.
Okay, so it looks like it's a move to defend him somewhat. But do you think that there's going to be any major policy shift on the back of his appointment as prime minister and also the reaffirming of the different ministerial posts?
I don't think we're going to see a change. In fact, if you look at the statement very clearly, as a matter of principle, though it's not the first time, the appointment violates Saudi Arabia's basic law, because the king in the basic law, which is what amounts to Saudi Arabia's constitution, the king is by definition the prime minister. Now, if you look at the statement announcing the prime ministership of Mohammed bin Salman, it says that the king will continue to chair cabinet meetings. So I don't think you're going to see any change. If, you know, to the degree that you've seen change, you've seen that already with Mohammed bin Salman's actions. On the one hand, of course, enormous social reform, efforts at diversification, some of them involving somewhat science fiction-like mega projects. Mm. But you've also seen since the Biden visit a refusal to be helpful on energy prices, mm-hmm. and you've seen a very stark, outlandish sentencing of Twitter users to 30, 40 years in prison.
Mm. And what do you think this bodes then for his interactions with Western leaders, James? You did mention earlier that Biden's visit earlier this year didn't really repair ties between the U.S. and Saudi Arabia. Moving forward, how do you see Saudi Arabia's position in their engagement with other U.S. allies, especially at a time when the energy crisis is really taking a hit on everyone?
I think that, in a sense, the dam has already been broken in terms of the ostracization that bin Salman had experienced after the killing of Jamal Khashoggi. Biden was not the first Western leader to go to the United States, to Saudi Arabia. He was perhaps the most important one, not only because of the position of the United States, but because he had declared Saudi Arabia a pariah state during his election campaign, and since coming to office had refused to deal directly with bin Salman until he visited visited the kingdom. However, you've seen Emmanuel Macron of France, as well as, for example, Boris Johnson visit Saudi Arabia, and you saw other contacts that the Crown Prince was having with Western states. So, in a sense, I think that's not going to change, particularly given the energy crisis and the war in Ukraine. The issue is that Europe and the United States are not getting from Saudi Arabia what they want, which is lower oil, greater supply and lower oil prices.
And James, since we have you on the line, what do you make of the protests in Iran over the death of Mahsa Amini? So far, the BBC has reported 76 individuals have actually been killed.
This is the most significant popular uprising that Iran has seen since the 2009 so-called Green Revolution, which were protests against a perceived manipulation of the election and fraud in the election. Obviously, interestingly enough, this is a protest that is very much headed by women. I think what it's telling you is that there is widespread discontent in Iran with a government that hasn't delivered. Granted, Iran is under very heavy sanctions by the United States, but that's not, and that causes significant disruption. But what the demonstrations tell you that the government's argument, this is all of the corruption, economic mismanagement, hardship, and restrictions on personal freedoms, that the significant segments of the population do not buy that is simply a result of the sanctions against Iran.
Mm. James, thank you as always for speaking with us. That was Dr. James Dorsey, adjunct senior fellow at the S. Rajaratnam School of International Studies, giving us his analysis on the appointment of Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman as Prime Minister of Saudi Arabia, and also commenting on the protests going on in Iran, the most significant protest that we've seen in a decade. All right, it's 7:48 in the morning. We're heading into some messages. And when we come back, we will be checking the pulse of the automotive sector. What is the auto sector hoping to see from budget 2023? BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.